I'm sure that you've all read a book in your lives, and there's different chapters. I'm going to just share a chapter, really, of my life when I became a Christian and how that happened in my life. But I want to start with this. And Kenneth Copeland, I don't know whether many of you have heard of him, but he's a man of faith. He's one of the fathers, they call him, of faith. And I've listened to him since really I got saved. And he's been a great inspiration and teacher to my life. But he says this. He says, God is light and there is no darkness in him. And let that be the foundation of your faith. So God is light and there's no darkness in him. I think that's really powerful. Well, I was brought up a Catholic, so I knew about God. Went to church almost every Sunday, and that was because it was a family tradition that had been passed down through the generations. And as a child, the school that I went to, they had a church right next door. And sometimes in the lunchtime, I would go have dinner in with the school, and then I'd go into the church. And if you've been into a Catholic church, you'll know that the Stations of the Cross right around the church. And I used to walk around looking at these Stations of the Cross, and I used to cry because I didn't understand why Jesus died. I just could not understand why he had to die. I just saw it was a cruel death. And even though we would say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, I never got a revelation of it as a child. I just thought that the Roman soldiers had killed him and basically he had died. And, you grow up, you become a teenager, and church life that you once went every week, and sometimes you enjoyed it. You, more than anything, I would say you got a good feel factor. You went to confession, you confessed the things that you'd done wrong that week, and then you could take Holy Communion and you felt clean, and then you'd go out and you'd probably do the same things that you'd done the week before. But nevertheless, there was a good feel factor to, going to church and taking Holy Communion. I got to my teenage years, about 15, and church became boring, and a lot of the friends that I hung around with, they didn't go to church, so I stopped going to church. But I still had these deep, rooted, godly principles in me, which was, don't sleep outside of marriage with somebody, don't take drugs, and, just things that were really deep within me. And you get to like 19 and, all your friends, they're in relationships with people, and then they start sleeping with the boyfriend, and it's the norm in the world. The standard is, it's the norm. When I was a little girl, that wasn't the norm. But by the time I got to 19, 20, it became the norm. And the fact that you didn't sleep with your partner was like not the norm. And I wanted to be the norm with the world and fit in with everyone. And so I ended up like meeting someone. I had a child out of wedlock, and I had a friend who her life wasn't great. She'd become addicted to drugs, and she was a lovely looking girl, but was in with the wrong people. And basically, when you get addicted to something, especially drugs, it leads to crime. And her life went really bad. And anyway, she went to court. She was going to go to prison. She's going to get a prison sentence. And what they said was, look, if you send her to a rehabilitation centre, she's got an addiction here and she needs to get off these drugs. So putting her in prison is not going to help. But if you send her to a rehabilitation centre, then they will help her get off these drugs. anyway, she'd gone and she was there for a month. And we thought, you know, she's not going to stay there. She's going to come back. Well, within 6 months, these letters started coming. And she was talking a lot about Jesus and how these people were lovely and they'd sat with her. And for 3 nights, none of them had slept and they'd gone through the cold turkey with her. And then at the end of the letter, she would put, "I love you with the love of the Lord." Well, I'd been brought up where we didn't express our love to our family members. We were quite Victorian in the way of, like, we didn't hug, we didn't really kiss, and we definitely didn't say, "I love you." We just didn't do it. Apart from my great-grandmother, she is the only one that I can remember that, you know, that those words being spoken to and from. And so I then started thinking, oh my goodness, she's, you know, what people is she with? And what has she become that she loves me with the love of the Lord? I just didn't understand it. Anyway, she sent me this lovely scripture on like a cardboard, and I got it framed, and it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that if you believe in him, you shall not die but have eternal life." And, you know, when I got this scripture, I thought, wow, that's really good. And I framed it because I like the look of it. But I didn't realise that that scripture, by seeing it daily and just speaking it out, was actually starting to do something on the inside of me. But I didn't know it at that time. And so anyway, 12 months, her rehabilitation time was up and she was free to do whatever she wanted. She'd served her time. And she came to my house to see me, and I opened the door, and I have never, ever seen such a transformation in a person. She literally glowed. She shone. She looked beautiful. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, is this the same person? And she had this permanent smile on her face that obviously caused me to smile because of looking at her. But I remember sitting there thinking, I want to look like you. You look absolutely fabulous. Anyway, then she starts telling me about these people and her time there. And then she says to me about, she starts talking about Jesus. I actually started to get quite annoyed and jealous. Because I thought, hold on a minute, I haven't done anything like what you've done wrong in your life. And yet, I went to church and I was a better person than you. Because we tend to judge how people are or how we are. And yeah, you sound like you know him. And I don't. So she really did stir a jealousy up on the inside of me. Anyway, she decided that she was not going to come back to Liverpool. She was going to stay where she was down in Bournemouth and work with these people and help others to get set free and, you know, see changes in people's lives. Anyway, she left me. Oh, she took me to church as well the next day, and I went to a church and I walked in, and I was used to a Catholic church where they were very serious, and all these people were clapping their hands and smiling and singing, and my head was like on a swivel. And I remember just laughing because this was so strange to me. I had never seen people that, you know, did this, demonstrated a way of worship. And I remember sitting there thinking, God, you must be cringing on your throne with these people. They're too happy and they're clapping. You know, you're supposed to be quite serious. But I knew there was something about these people. I just knew, and I didn't know what it was. And I remember, you know, I went home and she went back down to Bournemouth and she left me with this little New Testament book. And I probably read the Bible. My great-grandma had a family Bible, and we had to wash our hands before we actually touched it. And it had some fantastic pictures, works of art in it, as a child. And although I couldn't read because I was about 6 or 7, so I couldn't read properly, but I'd look at the pictures and make my own stories up from the pictures that I did see in the Bible. And so I'm reading this New Testament Bible, and I don't know how I came across this scripture, but it said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anybody invites me in, I'll come and sup with them." And so I was sitting in my front room in my house, and I got up and I walked to the door and I opened the door and I imagined him standing behind the door. And I said, if you're real, then I'm asking you, will you come in and sup with me? If this is the real way to you, if this is what the real faith is, then I'm asking, will you come in and will you sup with me? And I shut the door and I went in and I sat down and I burst out laughing. And I thought, if anybody could see you, Donna, they'd think you were absolutely loony. And then I just, for a moment, there was just like a silence in the room. And then I got this impression, like a picture in my mind. And if you see a thick rope, you know, that like would pull a car. I got this picture in my mind of this thick rope with knots on it and bricks attached. And then all of a sudden, it felt like they were, it was coming up. And every time, like a knot with a brick on would come up, I would confess something that I'd done wrong in my life. And I began to weep and weep and weep, to absolutely sob, and was just saying, God, I'm sorry for this, and I'm sorry for this, and I'm sorry for this. And I didn't understand what was happening, but I knew something was happening, but I didn't know what it was. Anyway, the next week, I went back to the church on the Sunday morning. And last time I'd been there, I thought, I won't be coming back here again. But there was something that really drew me back to that church the following week. And I felt like, you know, my friend had told the pastor everything about me, because he was speaking about me and he seemed to be looking at me a lot of the time. And I felt like, oh, she's told him all about me. And this went on for about 6 weeks. There was just a drawing back to the church. I couldn't get enough of it. And yet I would sit there and we'd sing the hymns and I would weep. I would just cry with the words. They were so powerful. And then this particular week, they had an evangelist in the church. And he said this about giving your life to the Lord. And he said, you see, there's an unseen realm that you cannot see, he said. And when you publicly confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Saviour, you are confessing to that unseen realm, angels and demons, and to us publicly, that you are making him your Lord and your Saviour. You are coming out of the kingdom of darkness and you're coming into a kingdom of light. And you're publicly confessing it, and no one can ever take that away from you. You have witnesses. And he said, if you want to do this, I'm asking you to come forward. And I remember feeling all this emotion again, thinking, oh, I want to go forward, but I don't want people to see me cry in this place. And I would always sit at the back of the church so nobody could see me. And as soon as it finished, I would go, and I'd go in late. And the next thing was, I felt like a hand on my back, and the next minute I was at the front at the altar. And I turned around to see who was there, and there was nobody there. I look back and think it must have been an angel, because I was at the front. And that day, I publicly confessed my sins and asked Jesus publicly into my heart and become my Lord and Saviour. And at that point, salvation was real to me. That doesn't mean to say that you don't have a battle afterwards in your mind, because then you've got the fight of like, do they really think it was real? Do they really think it was happened? But the more that I got into the Word, the more that I could see it was real, the more that the Word of God came alive, and then I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then it was like a couple of weeks later and I was baptized speaking in tongues. And that was the point of my salvation. I want to say this. I am a person that does things. There's actions and I'll verbalize things. And I think that's really powerful, because I think that's making a statement of faith. So that's a small part of my life that's taken place. And if we had all day, I'd probably tell you more of my life since then. But I just wanted to share that part. And then I want to just share somebody else who had like an encounter with Jesus. And faith is now, and faith is an action. Faith is works. It's not just what, you know, oh, I think it's faith, or yeah, I'm in faith, but you're not seeing anything attached to that. I'm just gonna like share some different scriptures as well, and yeah, if you've got the Mark 5, and it's verses 25 to 34. I'm gonna read out of a completely different version, so I hope it's not really that much different. But there's a woman who's been really ill, and she's had an issue of blood, so she's been bleeding for a long time. So from verse 25, it says, "In the crowd was a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. She had gone to many doctors, and they had not done anything except cause her a lot of pain. She had paid them all the money she had, but instead of getting better, she only got worse. Then the woman had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him in the crowd and barely touched his clothes. She had said to herself, 'If I can touch his clothes, I will get well.' As soon as she touched them, her bleeding stopped and she knew she was well. At that moment, Jesus felt power go out from him. He turned to the crowd and asked, 'Who touched my clothes?' His disciples said to him, 'Look at all these people crowding around you. How can you ask who touched you?' But Jesus turned to see who had touched him. The woman knew what had happened to her, and she came shaking with fear and knelt down in front of Jesus. Then she told him the whole story. Jesus said to the woman, 'You are now well. Because of your faith, may God give you peace. You are healed and you will no longer be in pain.'" I just want to pick up on a few things there. The woman had heard. So first of all, she'd heard. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. You remember me telling you, she sent me a scripture, "For God so loved the world." The more I spoke it, the more faith started happening on the inside of me. So she heard about Jesus and she did something. If you think about it, there was a huge crowd, so there was lots of opposition that day. You know, and a lot of us, we give up when we see things, opposition come against us in our lives. But she didn't. And it says she barely touched, so she did something. She actually touched his clothes. And she said to herself, so she was saying, she was thinking, if you think about your thoughts, a lot of the times you have thoughts and then you say what you think. So she had these thoughts and then she said to herself, if I can touch, she did it. She touched his clothes. I will get well. So she spoke things that be not as though they are. And that's what the word of God says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So the human eye can't see it yet. I did not see my salvation. When I asked him into my heart, I did not see anything. I just knew. And that's what faith is. As soon as she touched them, her bleeding stopped and she knew she was well. I knew something had taken place in my life. Didn't know what, but I knew something had happened. At that moment, Jesus felt power had gone out of him. And he turned to the crowd and he said, "Who touched my clothes?" I've got some notes in here and I put this. Jesus did not lay hands on her. She touched him. And there are times when people will lay hands on you and they will pray for you. But she did it with her own faith. She reached out and she touched him. So, for me, I think the whole of that story is so powerful. And then she, it says, that then she told him the whole story. So she did something. She confessed what she'd done. And the fact that that morning on Salvation for me, I publicly confessed in front of other people, I am making him my Lord and Saviour. So I want to say this. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Or you could put it this way. Complete trust is the substance of things expected or desired, for the facts of things not seen to the human eye. God is a spirit. We are spirit, soul, and body. And we have a mind, will, and emotion. In the beginning, God breathed life into Adam and he became a spirit being. Somebody said this, and I thought it was really good, but we have a talking God with a talking book. I think that's really powerful. And when God speaks to me, I'm telling you, 9 out of 10 times, it's through the word of God, through his word that he speaks to me. Somebody else said this, and these are notes that I can't remember who said it, so I can't give them the credit for it. But they said this, you have to see yourself in scripture. So it's that I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking on your heart, Donna, will you let me in? You see yourself, God speaking to you. He's speaking to you. What is he saying to you for you to take that step of faith? You know, there's the written word of God, and they call that the logos word of God. And then there's the rhema, the God breathed, the inspired word, the specific word for you. And maybe you need a specific word today for circumstances in your life. Then I would ask you to do this. You've not accepted Jesus, first of all, you need to accept him as your Lord and Saviour. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because he's your helper and teacher. And as I've grown, the more that I depend on him to help me in all situations. Help me, Holy Spirit, what do we do in this and doing that? But ask him to breathe life into the word and bring it alive. Speak to me specifically regarding this circumstance. What do I do in this situation? Show me. I want to say this as well. We take things from the spiritual realm and we pull them into the natural realm. You know, my daughter's like, she's not walking with the Lord, but I'm constantly praying by faith. She's coming back. God, I dedicate her day to you as a child. She's yours. She's your child, and I just call her back in Jesus' name. And then I start loosing angel and loosing friends into her life that are Christians. And, you know, for God to just keep speaking to her some way or other. She went to Sunday school last week, Luella, my granddaughter, and more master. We were on a phone conversation, and she said, did you go into Sunday school? And she said, yeah. And she said, what did you do today? And she said, well, I learned about Mary and her cousin. What's her name, Nanny? And I said, Elizabeth. And she said, yeah, and Elizabeth and John the Baptist. She said, her son's John the Baptist. And she said, and the baby kicked her in the stomach and the Holy Spirit let her know. You know, that will have a profound effect on my daughter. But for a six-year-old to go back and tell her mother what she's just learned, it didn't leave me as a child of going to a Catholic church. It's in there. It will come back out. God never leaves us. I just want to finish now with a few more scriptures of, it's by grace that we're saved. By faith, and it's not through our works. So me thinking that I went to confession and I was this good person and had a good feel factor, that's not enough. Salvation comes by faith and grace and no other way, and through the Son of God, Jesus, who died to take away our sins. Some questions, really. I want to say this as well. Truth produces faith. Jesus said, my words are truth. So whatever you see in there is truth. that will produce faith in you. Some questions. Do you have salvation without lordship? Do you have salvation without the kingdom being experienced in your life? His blood, it says, can make even the foulest free. Is Jesus as real to you as I am? Jesus bids us to come and have fellowship with him. And he wants you to know that you're valuable and he died for you and for me. I want to just say this. Do you know him? And then if you're struggling with your faith, you know, Jesus said this, there was no one greater than John the Baptist. And yeah, when John was in prison, facing death, he sent his followers to Jesus asking, are you the one who was to come? Or should we look for another? So even in your faith walk, you may have times, just like John the Baptist, where you struggle. And then Jesus said this. Jesus said to them, go tell John what you see, what you hear. The blind are made to see. Those who have bad skin diseases are healed. And the dead are raised up to life. The good news is preached to poor people. I just want to encourage you today. Read the word of God. Ask him to speak to you. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, there's something powerful about doing it publicly. And yeah. Amen. Okay. Thank you.
Faith comes by hearing. Well, you've heard the word this morning. And to respond to that word, God knocking at the door of your heart. And the handle's on the inside. You've got to open. You've got to respond. You've got to make that step of faith and acknowledge, God, you're there. You're waiting. And I'm coming to you. I'm responding to you. Yeah. Thanks, Donna. There's an invitation that's in that message. Even as the woman with the issue of blood, she needed peace. Jesus saw that, and she thought she only needed a healing. He gave her healing, but he also gave her peace and through the faith. And then she could go with the knowledge of the peace of God in her heart, that she was right with God. She was right in herself. And so if you're away from God this morning, if sin has come between you and God, if you're acknowledging this morning that I've never taken that step of faith, I've never responded in a personal way, I've grown up amongst people of faith, I've experienced faith within a context of others in a community of faith, but I don't know if I've ever responded personally to Jesus knocking at the door of my heart. And if you've never made a public confession, if you've never responded to Jesus in that personal way, not just saying, Jesus, I want you as my Savior, but Jesus, I need you as my Lord, that you be both Lord and Savior and King in my life. And I wonder if we could stand together, and I'm going to invite the musicians to come up. And just before we go out with this hymn, I know there's a moment in God. And if you confess Jesus before man, he will confess you before the Father. That's a promise in the Word of God, because he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. And so this morning, if you acknowledge that, yes, I've sinned, and I understand that the wages of sin is death, separation, but I also understand that there's a great Savior waiting for me. And maybe almost picturing Donna opening that door and saying, reveal yourself, come into my life. Jesus takes you at your word as you respond in faith and trust through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we saved. And if you'd like to do that this morning, more than acknowledge that to me, won't you acknowledge that to God? Possibly lift your hand and just say, I'm reaching out to you. I'm taking hold of the door right now and I'm opening it. And I'm saying, won't you come into my life? Forgive me. Cleanse me. I acknowledge that there is sin. I've chosen to put my will above yours. That's what sin is. It's not the bad things we do. It's the choices we make. It's choosing our will above God's will. And the consequences, yes, we break God's word. We break God's commandment. We've grieved God. But God's saying, come. His invitation is saying, come. And so right now, won't you pray along with me if that's you? Father, I thank you for sending your Son to this world, not just to be born as a baby, but to die on a cross, to take my sin, the punishment that I deserve, the death that I deserve because of the sin, the wages of my sin. And I acknowledge, Jesus, right now, you've paid the price. And I ask that you would receive me, cleanse me, forgive me. And I ask for that peace right now to come to me. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Amen. If you put your trust in him this morning, if you've reached out in faith and prayed that in a similar words, maybe not the exact words I've prayed, but you've responded and said, Jesus, won't you raise your hand while everybody's eyes are closed, their heads bowed? Won't you just say, that's me? It's the public acknowledgement, the public profession of faith, as Donna was saying. It's just saying, that's me. That's me. Won't you acknowledge that before God and even before God's people this morning?